Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network of David Duenas. This is the premiere of the 2017 season. I am your co-host, Steve K9 Kim from the city of Los Angeles. And joining us, where he left his heart, in the Bay Area of San Francisco, Golden Gate, Gabe Montoya. Gabe, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve. I'm as surprised as Ward was to win his Kovalev fight that we're doing a show today, considering it's a championship game. But here we are. It's a new year. We've got to get going. We do have boxing to preview. Not a lot to talk about that just happened, but Badu Jack, James DeGale, hell of a fight. Here we go, episode 612.
Yes. Just a programming hint for our fine audience. Yes, as Gabriel Montoya mentioned, Clemson and Bama kick off in about 75 minutes, and usually we go at least 90. We come up a little bit short this week. I wouldn't be mad at you. But anyway, if you want to call in, 347-215-7598. Once again, 347-215-7598. If you want to send us a tweet, they're already lining up here on Twitter, at SteveUCNLive and at Gabriel_Montoya. But let's get started with round number one. The boxing calendar kicks off from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, Saturday night. It's showtime. We have a super middleweight unification tilt between Badu Jack and James DeGale. And your co-feature on this night for the IBF junior lightweight title, Jose Pedraza, defends his crown against Gervonta Davis. Gabe, I don't think either Jack or DeGale, to me this is not exactly Nigel Benn and Gerald McClellan. It's not Roy Jones against James Toney, but these guys are belt holders. Unifying titles does mean something. I just get the sense, though, that as improved as Badu Jack is, who has really done a nice job of rebuilding his career after getting blown out of there by Derek Edwards 3-4 years ago, as flawed as James DeGale is, I still think he's just a little bit better. Am I wrong?
You know, that's a good way to start out 2017, is disagreeing. Because it's boring when we agree. I picked against James DeGale when he fought George Groves, because I think, you know, he's got a lot of flash to him, and there's some substance, but I think against a guy with like Badu Jack, who's going to dig to his body, come at him with power, and come at him with straighter shots, and also keep coming at him the way Porky Medina, who also works with Memo Heredia the way Badu Jack does, we'll leave that gray area where it is. But all those things combined, I'm going Badu Jack to put it on James DeGale a little bit and maybe to fade in the back end of the fight to make it a closer fight. But I wouldn't be surprised if DeGale gets put down early in a surprise.
You know, I look at DeGale as a guy that's not nearly as slick as he thinks he is, and that was borne out against Porky Medina, where I thought he looked very ordinary. In fact, I thought you could have made a very, very strong argument for that fight being a draw. And let's face it, Porky Medina, if you are truly an elite prize fighter at the world-class level, you don't struggle against him. And that's precisely what DeGale did. I think in this particular matchup, he knows what he's facing, good, solid, upright, right-handed fighter that could bang a little bit. I don't see DeGale laying up on the ropes nearly as much as he did against Medina. Lateral movement is going to be key, and I think he's going to slide around that ring. I think judging will be an issue because there's going to be a lot of tough rounds. But we have a division here right off the bat. You're taking Badu Jack. I'm taking James DeGale. You know, it's interesting. I'm seeing on Twitter, you know, if whoever's the winner of this, and people say Badu Jack, He should be in the pound-for-pound list. It says here that once you start putting Badu Jack on pound-for-pound list, you've probably gone too far down that list. I think, I mean, again, it's great that one of these guys will have two belts. But I look at these guys and I say to myself, belts are great, especially if you have multiples of them. Doesn't necessarily make you great. I still get the sense that there's a big void at 168 from the departure of guys like Andre Ward and Carl Froch.
Yeah, I think now is a good time to be a 168-pounder. You can really define yourself. There's guys that are a little longer in the tooth, like a Lucien Bouté, who can give you a fight and thus give you some respect by beating them. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, you look at James DeGale's record. So if he beats Badu Jack, you're saying that beating Marco Antonio Parabon, Andre Darrell, Bouté, and then Rogelio Porky Medina, and then Badu Jack makes you pound for pound. I mean, that's, I guess if you're shrinking your list to pound for pound, the best 168-pounder, I mean, it kind of reminded me of Ryan Machinano's pound for pound Bay Area list. I'm like, there's not that many fighters here. If you shrink the measurement, you know, to the smallest degree, of course you're going to come up with some sort of pound for pound measurement. No, I mean, I think these guys can make an argument that they're the best 168-pounder depending on how they win this fight. That's definitely true. If Badu Jack can knock James DeGale out, he's the man in the division, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, Gabe, you're right. This is for divisional supremacy, but from a wider scale, in terms of where these guys rank in terms of being the best in the sport, I'll be honest with you. If they were in the Super Six back 5 years ago, I don't think anyone would really consider them a real threat to win it. And if someone would say, well, if Badu Jack wins it, he'd be number 8 on my pound-for-pound list, my retort would be, you probably should have stopped at number 7 and just say miscellaneous and the rest. Gabe, who do you like, Pedraza or Gervonta Davis? I look at both of these guys. One of them hasn't been defending his title, and his father was very upset at Lou DiBella for being sidelined. And quite frankly, I thought he got a bit of a gift against Edner Cherry. And Gervonta Davis was benched by Floyd Mayweather for not basically going by what he said. I don't think we know much about either guy coming into this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pedraza's a little more seasoned. 22 wins, 12 knockouts. And I mean, a close one with Edner Cherry that could have gone the other way since has picked up a decision win. He's, you know, 5'8.5", 70.5-inch reach, orthodox fighter. Against a guy that's 6 foot, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong, against 5'6", 69-inch reach southpaw, Gervonta Davis, who we don't know a lot about. Is he a record or is he a fighter? What were they building over there? He's got, you know, Cristobal Cruz on his record, Marco Antonio Macias, not guys that we're going completely crazy about. But at the same time, I want to kick off 2017 taking a chance. Lou DiBella might call me biased or something, but I'm going Davis just for ha-has. I think he catches Pedraza, hurts him a little bit, and gets his respect. And the back end of the fight will be the tough thing if it goes there.
Yeah, interesting. When I saw Gervonta Davis long ago, when he was still in the good graces of Floyd Mayweather, he was facing a lot of slow, I mean really slow, plodding, methodical, non-skilled fighters, most of them who were Mexican, and I said, okay, this is batting practice. In fact, this is not only just soft toss, this is hitting off of a tee. Pedraza, at the very least, is much more multifaceted than the guys Gervonta Davis has faced. I think there's ring rust with both individuals. The question is, who does it affect more? I'm going to shade Pedraza, and I have no idea why. I think this is the battle of the unknowns.
He might, you know, I think he's fought a better class of guy, more experience. I mean, it's a out of left field pick a little bit, but like I said, it's the first picks of the year, so I can afford to be wrong right off the bat. I just, I mean, you know, two fights to one, you're right. Who's going to be rustier? I don't know. And is Pedraza's rust the same as Gervonta Davis's inexperienced rust? I don't know. But I'm going Davis on this one. I guess we'll split twice.
We are live here on the next round. Gable Montoya, Steve Kim talking boxing, kicking off 2017. Gabe, looking at the calendar, this is the first fight that Showtime has in this new year, and they have a very nice schedule coming up all the way to March 4th. We are now in the second week of 2017, and Showtime, while they have a very nice lineup, HBO has one date on their regular airwaves, January 28th. What the hell is going on over there?
Dragons are expensive, I'm telling you. They're renegotiating their contract on Game of Thrones. If you want all three dragons, it's going to cost at least a couple good cards. So, and everybody wants all three dragons, and for several episodes. So, I don't know. You know, didn't Tom Hauser warn us about this the last few years? That before he was an advisor over there, and he would do his kind of debriefing of HBO. I just think that they don't care as much about boxing. They can give us some good fights and to develop a few characters like Triple G. If you can get him a good fight and build something, they're fine with doing it kind of that older way. I was really fascinated by your piece today with the UFC and wondering, you know, if those things are connected. It's just how boxing is kind of antiquated, how HBO doesn't seem to really care about the sport as much as developing good series anymore. What do you think it is? Are we going away from boxing?
I have no idea. Now, we had Jim Lampley on, Mario Lopez and I, on the three knockdown rule, and I asked him, from what you know, do you believe your network has the same level of commitment to the sport as it did, let's say, 15 years ago? And unequivocally, he said, absolutely. He just thinks there are certain issues going on at the high corporate level having to do with hostile takeovers and Rupert Murdoch and the fact that this is a rocky time. There is still a PBC effect, the influence of Al Heyman. And let's face it, in the past, HBO in many respects was the 800-pound gorilla. They're still a gorilla. I don't know if they're 800 pounds and they could sit anywhere they want anymore. But I'm an HBO subscriber mainly for boxing. And you've got to be able to do more than just one show and then be a portal for a bunch of pay-per-view fights.
Right.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And speaking of which, Gabe, Manny Pacquiao has made it clear that, hey, I took a discount. I was on the Blue Light Special for Jesse Vargas. Well, I want my $20 million minimum back for Terrence Crawford. And with that, Bob Arum says, wait a minute. Let's not make that fight yet. May not be feasible. We may take him on a world tour and fight the likes of Jeff Horn in Australia. Gabe, this is very, very reminiscent, if this actually comes to fruition. If you go back into the mid to late 70s, Muhammad Ali, certainly past his prime, was still an incredibly big name. And after the third Norton fight, he fought the likes of Richard Dunn and Carl Mildenberger and Jean-Pierre Koopman as he went on this world tour canvassing around Europe and locales such as that. How much traction is there in a Manny Pacquiao world tour in 2017?
Oh, I think that's a tradition all through boxing. I mean, Sugar Ray Robinson did the same thing. You know, if you go on the road, fight in Europe, beat some guys up, make some money, expand in ways you hadn't before in terms of, you know, just like the gate and really having that human connection with people. If Manny's a world-class athlete and guys last a little bit longer than they normally than they used to. So I don't see anything wrong with it. He's still entertaining. The Jesse Vargas fight wasn't crap. I think it's, you know, we'll see. But I don't see the sport. It was just like, you know, the fact that people couldn't get fights in bars, but they could always get UFC. You see it everywhere here, man. Every strip club, like in the Little Italy part of town, which is kind of right by Chinatown, and also part of this where this theater is, all of those show UFC. It's prevalent everywhere. Meanwhile, boxing is going through this kind of fractured bit with Al Heyman and the PBC suing each other. I just wonder where the sport's going. I know where Eddie Hearn's going. All Europe seems fine. But in the United States, I don't know where it's going.
Yeah, it just boggles the mind that I keep hearing, well, we have a premium product. Okay, you know, it's not that premium. wants it. Okay? You could price a Volkswagen at $500,000. It does not make it a Bugatti. Adapt and adjust to the marketplace and start trying to work back in volume. When I hear bar owners or the guy that buys the fights for Commerce Casino, which for years has shown fights, but I know a lot of people that go there, say, yeah, you know what, with boxing, I'm not getting all of them anymore. Gabe, that's in East L.A. If you can't get boxing shown in East L.A., you got a problem, and you better readjust what the word premium content or value means, okay? Anyway, moving on. Gabe, Andre Ward, I found it interesting that last week that camp, Roc Nation and Andre Ward, said, well, we're starting to negotiate the Kovalev rematch, and everyone said, good, it's going to happen. As Lee Corso has said throughout the past two decades on ESPN, not so fast, my friend. My understanding is that the terms between Roc Nation and Main Events were set prior to the first fight when the rematch clause was put in. Each side, I believe, is responsible for paying their guy, and you saw the disparity in purses back on November 19th. Main Events paid Kovalev $2 million. Roc Nation paid Andre Ward $5 million. I think what's going on is that Andre Ward is trying to, if you want to use the word, extort Roc Nation for even more money than he did the first time, even with the tepid pay-per-view results of the first fight. Again, no matter what you hear, I still think we're far, far, long ways away from that rematch coming to fruition.
So that's when he's talking about retirement, he's not talking about Kovalev. He's talking to Roc Nation through the press.
Yes, that is my understanding.
That's interesting. And if I'm Roc Nation and you look at the numbers and what you paid for this guy and you overpaid to be in the business, one, you have to wonder, why isn't Jay-Z ever really involved in the fights?
Yeah.
Why isn't he using his media influence to push Andre Ward into the spotlight and make him more, prevalent, make him into a star? I don't get it. The whole thing doesn't. But I don't disagree with them. Kind of going, do we really want to get on board and do this again? Do another pay per view that's not going to do money? Do the numbers that we need to make our money back?
Gabe,
I wouldn't.
You know what I found humorous and ironic? Cue Alanis Morissette. Was Michael Baca actually went to the Cotto Kirkland luncheon on Friday, wrote a very good story for UCN Live. And one of the quotes that had me rolling my slanted eyes was when Michael Yormark says, we need the media's help. We need you. We want you to help us. I mean, you guys are great guys, and I mean, we got to push the message together. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, Yormark, if that's the case, why are you trying to ban certain writers from Ward Kovalev? Where's the partnership then? Listen, they know that they have a dog of an event February 25th. The question is just how much are they going to swim in red ink? But there have been a lot of bleached bones in the desert of boxing. I don't think anyone has been an unmitigated disaster quite like Roc Nation.
When Golden Boy was younger and Schaeferized and a little more aggressive, they could be write a more positive story, Richard Schaefer would say. These guys, we need the media's help. The media is not there to be in a wing. You know, that's what your PR people are for. You get interviews. You guys sell your crap. The press is there to kind of critique the fight, break it down, be honest about it, and call it for what it is, which I think everybody pretty much has been. My question would be, who does your drug testing?
Very interesting question.
I digress.
Gabe, moving on, this rematch was part of the rematch clause that was instituted for their first fight back in the fall. It is now official. The rematch between Jorge Linares and Anthony Carolla will take place March 25th in Manchester, England. The WBA title will be on the line. Also, Gabe, what do you make of this? Orlando Salido, it looked like coming into mid-December that things were in place for a rematch with Vasyl Lomachenko. Now it looks like Team Salido is saying, you know what? Let's think about this. Maybe we should just wait around for Francisco Vargas. What do you make of all those machinations?
I think he's got to be really careful about matchmaking at his age, you know? And I think he's got to be realistic in watching the tape of Lomachenko, who's now comfortable as a pro. He's fighting at a higher and higher level each time he fights. If I'm Salido, I pause and say, can I make money with another guy that I could potentially beat first? I think that's all it is.
You know, if Orlando Salido eschews a rematch with high-tech Lomachenko to go into another bloodbath with Francisco Vargas for the benefit of the fans and bloodthirsty ghouls like me, you know what? I'll endorse it. I will. I the more I thought about it, two Fridays ago, Gabe, they showed the rematch, or excuse me, the rebroadcast on HBO,
yeah.
The best of 2016. And I was mentally preparing a list for my upcoming article of fights that I want to see again in the upcoming year. And halfway through the fight, I just said to myself, Steve, you're overthinking this. Sometimes Star Wars can be followed by Empire Strikes Back. Sometimes, on the rare occasions, sequels are a good thing. So if you're going to give me Empire Strikes Back here, you know what? Give me the paper, mate. Sign me up. Give me that pen. Let's go to the Twitter timeline, and of course we start with the president, Andrew V. Kennedy, who asked, so was the Pacquiao $20 million a genuine demand, or was it a way out of a fight that he didn't want, seeing as he took a pay cut before? Gabe, when he takes, again, a steep discount for Jesse Vargas, and he knows what the relative pay-per-view numbers are in 2017, to ask for $20 million as if he got into a hot tub time machine back to 2010, that is an admission that the risk-reward for Terrence Crawford, it ain't good.
He knows what the deal is. I mean, yeah. I mean, he's not saying take it or leave it. He's saying this is what I want, and we'll see what the counter offer is, you know. Is it worth $15 million? I don't know. I mean, I don't – none of these guys have been built to a point where everybody wants to see this fight. And the last time everybody wanted to see this fight, it was MAPAC, and it was horrible. So I think the hangover from that, it really did irreparable damage to the business, to a business that was already kind of a niche sport. So, I don't know what Manny's thinking.
If you go back to when Manny Pacquiao was making this $20 million a shot, he was basically averaging about 1 million pay-per-views per shot. Now, this also includes the opponent and the undercard. I don't know, as good a fight as Pacquiao Crawford could be or might be, I really don't know, short of anything that Mayweather might do, right, if he comes back, or Golovkin Canelo, if there's a pay-per-view out there that even breaks 500,000. Now, a lot was made over Freddie Roach's claim that, hey, Terrence Crawford wants $7 million. You know, in defense of Terrence Crawford, if Pacquiao's asking for 20, okay, is it really out of the line for Terrence Crawford to say, well, wait a minute, I want about 25% of that? Here's the issue. For both Pacquiao and Crawford, Pacquiao's no longer worth $20 million. So whatever Terrence Crawford believes he's worth, and it doesn't matter what Tim Bradley made the three fights or what Brandon Rios made 2-3 years ago, this is a new reality. It's like
you're
a stock price.
A different time.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, listen, Enron stock in 1997 was a great buy. It's now a penny stock beginning in 2002. That's the economic reality. Here's one from Joshua at Run the Table at Sturthart 22. Is HBO going to make Provodnikov comma guy? Joshua, I hate to burst your bubble, but I don't think so, because according to Artie Palullo, Ruslan Provodnikov has settled in nicely with his millions of dollars in Siberia, and looks like, I believe for the time being, he is a retired fighter. Here's a tweet from Big Drama Show. So who is this super team Jacobs has? Ward, Floyd. I guess what he's referring to, Gabe, I guess Virgil Hunter is being brought in as a consultant to help out Andre Rozier as Jacobs prepares for Gennady Golovkin. Does that mean we should prepare for a lot of clinching and usage of the head?
Well, I think it's very economical. He'll handle all the inspirational talk at a whisper. And Andre Rozier will just give clinical boxing instruction. I think it really it saves on what the boxing lead boxing trainer has to say. I don't know. I wonder what it is. You know, when you start adding guys, and I mean everybody's going to make a story, but where did it leak from? You know, did they announce this? Was it a press release? I read it as a boxing story. I don't know. You know, he's still got to get in there and fight. That's the bottom line.
Here's a tweet from Russ Pettit. So Rousey does 1 million pay-per-view buys, and Ward against Sergey Kovalev does 160,000. What does boxing need to do? How about this? Get off pay-per-view for the time being. I mean, really, just get off pay-per-view and see where it goes, but start working back in value. But, I mean, say what you want about Bob, and I know he's a promoter. He'd love to cut costs. But Bob, I think, nailed it in my article last week. Fighters need to be shown the economic reality or just sit. It sounds harsh, but, Gabe, harsh times calls for harsh measures.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I mean, and I wonder what you do with Pacquiao, who's also a politician and a guy that's kind of unpopular with some of his stances, very conservative. Granted, the country's turning very conservative, so maybe that'll be good for him. But... And certainly his country's turning real conservative, kind of scary. I'm curious how he's going to sell in the twilight of his career. But maybe the going on a world tour is somebody in the boxing business, like a manager, is saying, I don't think they have any other choice but to try to go to free TV and work something out that way. HBO looks like they want to move forward, unless it's a Crawford fight. I don't blame them for that.
Here's one from Ryan Scalia of UCN Live. Great time to be a super middleweight because there's belt all over the place, name value all over despite lack of elite fighters. If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. We'll be here for at least another hour as we head into the championship game between Alabama and Clemson. Gabe, let's go to the phone lines.
All right, and I'm still going to a Ram game next year. We'll get to it at some
point.
Oof.
Poor you. But this is what you wanted. This is what you wanted, Gabe.
It was just like old time, Steve. Like old time. 917, you're live on the next one.
Yeah, I heard a beat. Happy New Year, Steve. Happy New Year, Gabe. How's it going?
Oh, Milcar calling in extra early tonight. Okay.
Yeah, man. Season that I was coaching is done, so I'm back on the 7 o'clock availability schedule. So, and as I was just here on the line, I was thinking about a couple New Year's resolutions for boxing. So, I mean, number one,
do tell.
No more Floyd Mayweather Jr.
By the way, guys, a milk car. People have brought this up to me, and maybe this is all just internet chatter or the Twitter bubble.
Yeah.
Does it seem like his company, or he himself, is paying attention more to this Chris Brown Soldier Boy beef than to Gale Jack, where he is the promoter of record?
You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, I have friends who know that I'm in the boxing, and you always get, like, some of the dumbest questions from people who follow the sport from a distance. What are they asking me about? Chris Brown versus Soldier Boy and Mayweather's involvement in it. I'm like, you really think I give a shit about this crap? Like... Seriously, I do not want to hear about Floyd Mayweather Jr. as it relates to, actually forget as it relates to boxing, as it relates to anything in 2017. So I thought I'd start off with that.
Okay. Good one.
I've got another one. You know the workout infomercials with like the before picture and the after picture?
Oh yes. Oh, yes.
No more heavyweights that look like the before guy in like the P90X workout.
Yes.
I mean, I don't understand it. Like I've said it in a past call I made maybe a few months ago. Like I'm a phys ed teacher. I teach kids physical education. I try to stay in shape. I work out every day. It's not my full-time job to work out. I do not understand for the life of me how people show up for world title fights looking the way they do. It's like your job is to train full-time. How are you that out of shape? I don't get it. I mean, I look like I probably am in better shape than some of these guys. To me, it's totally embarrassing that you consider yourself an elite athlete and you show up for world titles in that type of shape.
Okay.
Then number three. Sorry, Gabe.
No, it just, why does there have to be, don't be the guy, you know, this generation's Chris Areola, always talking about your weight, or Big Baby Miller. You know, it'd be great if you lost 20 pounds, or Andy Ruiz. Don't be that guy. That's all.
The story should not be somebody's weight and how much weight they lost. And then number three, as it relates to HBO, I'm kind of two in one. Number one, no more pay-per-view fights that should be on World Championship Boxing, and less yapping from Max Kellerman. So, I mean, those are my three. There's a lot more, but I actually wanted your opinion on something, Gabe and Steve. I bought tickets to Golovkin Jacobs, zero hesitation. I bought them during the pre-sale. I bought a few of them, actually. And that's months away. I'm still on the fence in terms of going to the Barclays this Saturday. If you guys lived in New York, would you actually go to this fight based on the main event and the undercard?
Yes. And I believe tickets can be had for cheap, because in the words of a real expert, when it comes to this, KO Tickets, Jim Boone, he said that promotion is, quote, unquote, a train wreck. Now, the one thing that is very good about train wrecks from a consumer standpoint is that you could probably get cheap tickets the day of. So keep that in mind.
That's
true. Right from the source, or right from Ticketmaster. Don't go to, like, the site and try to buy it.
Well, no, just hang around the arena. I've heard a lot of stories for PBC events. Just hang out around the venue and someone will have a ticket at a very, very favorable price. I've heard that many times before.
Sam Watson?
Oh, that's good to know. I mean, it is a unification fight in New York. I mean, other than that, I might as well take advantage of it, I guess. And it does seem like it will be a good fight. I'm going to be honest with you. If you look at James DeGale's career, does he have a standout fight that actually impressed you? Because I'm actually hard-pressed to think of one.
No.
I mean,
I don't think he's that good.
Fight?
That's what gets me when people say, Golovkin needs to move up. I go, what, and fight James DeGale? That's his super fight? Really? Really? The best part of James DeGale, according to Twitter, and I don't necessarily disagree, is his sister. Now, she's all right.
I don't disagree with that one at all.
Okay.
Let me throw in the number four. Number four, New Year's resolution. A Showtime, show me more of James DeGale's sister than of James DeGale.
The message to Steven Espinoza.
Anyways, guys, on that note, again, Happy New Year. I'm happy to be able to listen live again, and I hope forward to another great year of more of your shows. So take care.
Thanks,
Amilcar, here's a prosperous 2017. Gabe, let me give you a series of texts that I got from an unnamed reporter. Okay, because I don't want to get this guy in trouble or banned, who texted me these messages about DeGale Jack. Now, this is a guy that covers events a lot on the East Coast. He's a real boxing guy, does very good work. And all he wants to do is get credentialed to cover the event. Okay, and this is at 11:44 a.m. I got these texts, and it says, "This is one of the worst run events I've ever seen. They removed it from MagnumMedia.com so Mayweather Promotions could do the event, and it's been a complete shit show." And then I responded, quote, "That's great, lulz." Then my guy says, "They never made anyone aware of it, that they were accepted, even as of today, so me and blank had to email them." My response, lulz. Then they reply to me asking for a letter of assignment and links to my work. Keep in mind, I've done like 10 of their events. Then they said, quote, "Due to the high volume of requests, we cannot accept any more applications," end of quote. I'm like, really? Large number of requests for that crap? They have to be lying, LOL. There has been zero talk on the fight. Now, get this, Gabe. And Gervonta Davis is another story. I hope he gets dropped, too. And I said, why? What happened? So we set up an interview last week. Lauren, and who's he? Like, I guess this is his publicist or whatever, says, lets me know he's on an interview now, and he's going to call me right after. 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour goes by, nothing. Not even a call that he can't make it. And keep in mind, I didn't request the interview. I was approached to do it. Lulled. So there you go, Gabe. So there you go. So, Gabe, if you're thinking about booking a late flight to Brooklyn, don't, because they're not accepting any more credential requests due to the high volume, okay?
I might be able to get a free seat, though, but yes. That is –
You mean free! Yes, I had to get the first one out of the year. Okay, let's go to the phone lines, Gabe.
All right. Amanda Serrano's fighting, though. I actually really like the way she fights. She fights like James Kirkland if he kept his shit together. 530, you're live on the next round.
Wow, I have to follow that up. Happy New Year, guys.
Yes. Ringside Robbie, happy 2017.
Yes. Steve, it looks like to me, I don't want to call Jim Lampley a liar because obviously you asked the question and you've got to accept the answer. But it looks like to me HBO is getting out of the boxing business unless we pay for it. You know, if we're just a standard subscriber and we don't want to deal with pay-per-views, January 28th is about all we have to look forward to. And to me, that sucks because HBO was the place for boxing. Now, I can't stand Premier Championship Boxing, but I've got to give Steven Espinoza and crew credit. They have a full schedule, you know, through March 4th. HBO is supposed to be the leader in sports, you know, as far as boxing is concerned, and Peter Nelson and crew are doing a pathetic job. Here, we're going to give you one free bone, basically, and then you got to pay for February 25th, March 18th, and whatever else we decide to give you in May and September and beyond. That is not the way to run your network.
Well, to be fair to Peter, he's not just dealing with one advisor. He's dealing with a large, you know, many different camps, many different groups trying to put together the fights that one advisor isn't trying to take over to Showtime, CBS. So it's hard.
But Gabe,
it's hard to judge them the same way. You know what I mean? One guy's dealing with the leftovers, and one guy kind of bought the farm.
But Gabe, I've got to disagree because from a boxing fan's point of view, they've got stuff that they can watch on Showtime. Like I'm sure the Joshua fight is going to wind up on Showtime. I'm sure HBO is not going to have anything to do with that because they're going to use their budget as an excuse. So if you're a boxing consumer and you don't do what we do on a weekly basis, running podcasts, if you're just an average boxing fan and you follow the sport on a regular basis, you're going to want to keep your Showtime subscription, but you're going to cut your HBO because, you know, they're not giving you anything unless you pay for it. Am I wrong?
Well,
no,
here's
I don't
the issue.
Disagree,
I think both of you are absolutely correct. They're not delivering, but there's also a reason, okay? But there is that old saying, and I think we've all heard different versions of it. I don't want to hear about the difficult delivery or labor. Just show me the baby.
Yeah, exactly. And now, as far as this weekend, I'm not surprised that people in New York can't get credentialed because Al Haymon wants to control his reporters. I mean,
still?
Steve, you've experienced that.
Well, here's the difference, though. Can I just say something?
Yeah.
This guy that texted me earlier this afternoon, he's covered other PBC events. In fact, I think he's been to the majority of them in New York. I just think this is gross incompetence here by TMT.
I agree. Well, that's why Floyd, I think, is going to have a very difficult night. because I think he's going to have a 50-50 split. I think Jack is going to get beat, and I think Davis is going to win his fight. That's the way I look at those two fights.
You're on the record, Robbie.
Yeah, that's the way I look at the Davis is going to win, and Jack is going to lose. So he's going to have a 50-50 night. And he's focused his attention on a three-round pay-per-view fight with a couple of rappers. Now, how many people in this country, if they don't want to pay for real boxing matches, how many people in this country are actually going to pay for two rappers in the ring? Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're part of that World Star crew, and there's quite a few of them. But again, World Star shows all their videos for free. Are they real? By the way, someone asked me, Steve, who do you think is going to win between Soulja Boy and Chris Brown? And I said, well, I'd rather just have them shoot at each other. This way it's a win-win for everybody. Anyway.
I just can't believe.
I mean, what kind of 2017 is it going to be that, you know, World Star is getting in the pay-per-view business? This is out of hand.
You know, I just find it hard to believe that we're getting off to this kind of start. And as far as the 168-pound division, when Triple G decides to move up, from the names that are there, he could probably just roll right through it, and he's still going to have the same problem of getting a big name fight if the Canelo fight doesn't happen this fall.
Well,
you know,
but remember this. This is where the belts, again, are important, and they actually work for the sport.
Uh-huh.
When you are a world champion and you move up in weight, you automatically become like the number one contender in that sanctioning body.
Right.
So that may be another reason why Golovkin and his crew says, wait a minute, let's hold these belts. There are certain inconveniences, but there's also certain rights that we hold with ownership of these titles. Robbie, we got to get running, okay?
Okay, Happy New Year and Roll Tide.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm all ACC tonight, but
okay.
I hear you. 347-215-7598 if you want to call in. And if you want to tweet us, you can do so at SteveUCNLive and at Gabriel_Montoya. Gabe?
405, you're live on the next round. 405.
Hello?
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 Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Who is this?
Santos from Oklahoma.
Santos, Boomer Sooner.
Happy New Year, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good,
what
man.
Can we do
Thanks.
For you?
Not much. Hey, if Floyd was smart, he probably just slide in Soulja Boy and Chris Brown fighting DeGale and Badu Jack undercard.
Well, I don't know what to say. I think they've just begun training, but, you know.
Or probably
was...
put it in a strip club.
You know, I have to ask one serious question, though. Does Soulja Boy have a better chin than Rihanna? Until I get that
Ooh.
Answered, I will not make a prediction on that fight, boys.
Is Mike Tyson really training Chris Brown? Is that
He is. He is. Yeah, he is, actually.
Nah. I had one thing.
That's really,
I
mean,
some,
yeah. Go ahead.
I was looking at some videos and some pictures. Do you ever think that Kirkland can make the weight against Cotto? He looks kind of heavy.
Yeah, well, you're the foremost Kirkland and Wolf expert, Gabe. What are your thoughts on that?
It's like a train wreck. I don't want to even look at it. He does look a little heavy to me. But, you know.
They both look old.
Because they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because they are. Yeah, it's because they don't. Aging doesn't happen backwards. You know, we'll see. I mean, James has to be in dog shape. And, I've said a few times now that he always had to have, like, two or three fights with Ann when he'd been away from her in order to get close to where she wanted him to be ready for the big fight. If you look at his big win with Angulo, that's pretty much what they did. Any big fight, he generally had a buffer fight in between, you know. I think the Tapia fight might be the exception. But,
oh, by
so,
the way.
You're getting diminishing returns with him.
Speaking of New Year's resolutions, I know it's a little late, but since we're still in early January, can Miguel Cotto stop saying that he beat Canelo or that there's unfinished business? I was there, and the large majority of people, even Puerto Ricans, will tell you there was nothing controversial about that fight. Cotto did the absolute bare minimum to just keep the fight somewhat close every single round maybe, but he probably didn't win more than 3-4 rounds. I get it. You're looking for one last score. Rock Nation needs some dance partners. You know what, though? Don't stick that on us. We don't want it.
No.
Good grief.
No, he lost the fight.
No. It's, you know, asking Miguel, yeah, he's going to be a prima donna, Steve. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but he's going to keep saying it.
Mm. Santos,
the other thing I find funny is Andre Ward, in one of his articles, it seems like every day he has something new to say. He has said that he wants to be paid like a champion in the next fight with Kovalev, and he made like $6 million in the last fight. So I'm not sure what that means.
You know, one comment of his that I found funny is when he said, everyone made Kovalev out to be a monster. I expected more, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, Andre, most people actually expected more out of you. You know?
Agreed.
Anyway,
one more
Santos.
Thing, guys,
yes.
How do you guys think my Cowboys would do against the Packers this weekend? And I'm out.
I expect a shootout. I think Aaron Rodgers is on a run. I think that makes him dangerous. However, Cowboys got a week off, and they are a physical, grinding team at home.
Agreed. I think the Cowboys are going to win this game at least.
All right, Santos, thank you very much for the call. Gabe, first of all, I've been wanting to ask you this question. When the Rams got blown out by Arizona 44-6, when the game that you were at last week, how long did you stay?
Till my dad left 6 minutes to go after that last score, like to push it to 44. I stayed another couple minutes after that and then left. I mean, it was
longer
than
I would.
Beautiful day. Yeah,
I would have been out of there
at
the second quarter.
Well,
I'm being dead serious.
I drove down from San Francisco to the desert. I spent a week with my family there. And then, you know, I've spent New Year's Eve weekend. I spent longer than I expected to with my family. And then New Year's Eve weekend in the city. I mean, it was like the culmination. I knew they were probably going to lose a few games before that. I mean, they just – once you fire your coach – you know, to me, it was like, wow, I've never seen a train wreck like this of a pro football team. They fire their coach. This is as low as it gets. And, you know, I'm going to keep coming to Rams games, and it can only get better. Jesus God.
Well, I know one thing. With the way they've been playing, it can only get cheaper. Just go on StubHub. Day of the game.
Well, we had such good seats that I was kind of wondering that. I don't know if I would have gotten the seats that I had if I had waited. But, you know, I kind of want to go more towards the middle of the field anyways next year. I like the view, but, you know, the Rams were on the other side of the field for most of it.
Gabe.
We couldn't get anything going.
Can I tell you something as it relates to Rams games in the foreseeable future? This phrase will apply a lot. Plenty of good seats available.
Yes. Yeah. It
3-4-7.
It was nice to see that sea of Rams jerseys, though.
Yeah, by the
next
way, Gabe,
year.
Is Jared Goff officially on the Gabe Montoya bust watch?
Well, absolutely. I mean, going in, it was funny. You know, being there was dudes around. It's pretty funny. I mean, just, you know, we all, just Rams fans, know what they're getting. They're just kind of enjoying the last game of the year. And there was a chant going by, like, third quarter for Mannion. Bring him in. And when he came in, he did throw a pick, but, you know, I mean, it's hard to judge a guy, you know, one quarter. Like I said, it was three quarters in a season too late to bring that guy in. But everybody saw him play well in the preseason, but the lights of L.A. and the NFL.com media and all that pushing for Goff and pushing that storyline, I've never really understood that. Like, the Rams didn't even have their feet under them. But let the guy redshirt for a while. The pro game is completely different. He's playing in a completely different offense. I don't know. I don't know where they go from here.
Oh, but you know
Gruden,
what, Gabe? At least they have a top five pick. Oh, that's right. They don't. They traded them all for that draft choice anyway.
Yeah.
347-215-7598. This is Championship Monday as we kick off 2017. Mr. Montoya, let's go back to the phone lines.
At least the Niners suck, too. 403, you're live on the next round. 403.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? This is Jose calling from Canada. Happy New Year to both you guys.
Jose, Canada. Welcome aboard.
my
minus
future
home.
Minus
20 degrees right now, boys. Minus 20 degrees. So that's
Maybe not.
Well, you know what? Listening to all these resolutions and everything, I think one little bit of information I'd like to pass on. I actually like to go to a lot of fights, and I've been to a bunch last year. And one thing the fans should do when they travel is never buy tickets beforehand. What you guys say is the absolute truth, because it's heartbreaking to talk to some people that are sitting beside you and hear that they paid $1,000 for seats that you paid like $200 for, you know? So people should really, you know, beware of that. It's probably terrible for the promotion, but I mean,
you know,
it's just ridiculous.
We keep saying it over and over again. It's one of the reasons why Jim Boone is a consistent part of our show. He will tell you what the ticket market is. There are times you should buy tickets early and often, and there are other times you should wait. And quite frankly, for certain shows, there are times you should just wait for the freebies. We aim inform and entertain on the next round.
And I greatly appreciate that, because I learned my lesson hard with Canelo Khan. I bought shitty tickets in the 200s, and I paid, I think it was like $700 for the seats. And then I ended up sneaking down with the wife. We went to the 100s. And we were literally sitting beside people that spent $1,500 a ticket, you know. So, and the place still wasn't even that packed. So I mean, it's just crazy, right? So I hope that, you know, people are aware of this, and these promotions, they adjust the ticket pricing. It's much better when the stadium's packed and there's more energy, and it just makes for a better event for everyone, you know. So hopefully, you know, that gets fixed. Last thing I wanted to say, because I know you guys are in a rush here, is 2016, I think, will be remembered for the year that Canelo went from being the Mexican king to the duck. You know, I was at that fight when he
harsh
promised.
Words.
But it's true. Like, he was the warrior. He took on such dangerous fights. You know, he fought Lara after he lost to Mayweather, correct? Is that right or not?
I believe
right,
so.
Right.
Or was it Angulo then risk. Lara? It was Angulo then Lara in 2014,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, exactly. That was a huge risk for him to take, and he went, he took it, he did it. The first time he called out Triple G, it was acceptable. But the second time, after he said, no mames, like, that's just too much. And I was a huge Canelo fan, and I just won't see him the same way ever.
Well, wait a minute. Do you like the Chavez fight as long as he fights Golovkin after that?
You know what? The only way Canelo wins me back, to be honest, is if he fights Chavez. Because that's a huge challenge. And I honestly think Chavez will beat him. I'm probably the minority. But
really?
He's just so big. And I think there's just so much. It's a true Mexican battle between those two guys, man. So I would just love to see it. I think, you know, Chavez is fighting more than just Canelo. He's fighting the demons of everyone who thinks he's just Chavez Jr., you know, and his daddy's little kid, right? So, I mean, it's his chance to prove
him. The size and the awkwardness of Chavez Jr. could really trouble him, you know?
Wow, Gabe, you think Chavez could really win this fight? Interesting.
I think he could be a problem. The way he throws his right, it's just Styles makes fights, you know, kind of a thing. And the way he throws his right could get over the top and hurt Canelo. I think he matches up well with him.
Guys, I can be completely off base. I think if they actually make this weight class, this catch weight at 165, I think that Chavez will be completely drained and depleted by fight night.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah.
But this is maybe the one fight. I think, you know, all these boxers, they have one fight that'll define them. This defines him, his last name, not his dad's last name, his name. You know, this is who he is. If he beats Canelo, he's going to never just be known as Junior. You know, he's going to be his own man. So I hope he does it. Maybe it's just, you know, I'm just dreaming in Technicolor. Who knows? But at least Canelo owes us that. If Canelo doesn't take that challenge and he fights some obscure bum again from the UK, man, I'm done forever with him.
Now, quick question, since you are a boxing consumer, what's the next fight you're going to?
Garcia Thurman. I think it's a good fight.
Okay, well.
I'm going to get great seats. You're going to see in the Barclays. You're going to get amazing seats in the 100 and the middles, probably for under $200 each ticket, you know. Base value will probably be 400. You'll be able to scoop those up for maybe $150, $160 a seat. So it's great value. And again, it's a 50-50 fight with two top young guys, right? So.
Okay. Well, listen, have a great time out there and don't be a stranger.
Okay, guys. Thanks so much. Happy New Year.
347-215-7598. You know what? We might as well take care of the fight preview right now. I think it's summed up by this tweet from Cheap Seats Boxing. On a scale of -1 to -10, how excited are you for Laura Foreman? My answer to that, Gabe, is -15.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I start breaking down the tape and I just keep falling asleep. You know, this fight, what can you say about it? I mean, Foreman has been really inactive. I fought once last year, once year before, didn't fight at all in 2014. And he's on the comeback trail, and it's like, no, please, stay gone. At 36, you know, he's not the most pleasing style, kind of a hunt-and-peck guy. And you know, 10 knockouts, what, 36 fights. Arislandi Lara, yeah, not exactly an excitement machine himself. This is going to be, it's like, wow, what kind of a brutal way to start 2017.
Yeah, this is not like math. Two negatives do not make a positive here. Let's just put it that way. And that fight is on Friday night on Spike from Hialeah, Florida. Gabe, I love this tweet from Haymanites, @ego_biggest. Scientific way, I'm determining my pick for DeGale Jack. Hatred for TMT versus DeGale's hot sister. You know what? That is foolproof, my friend. That is a foolproof formula. 347-215-7598. Gabe, let's go back to the phone lines.
All right. 347, you're live on the next round. I think it's Mike from Queens.
Mike?
Are you there?
Hello? Or not.
All right, fine.
Okay. We'll get back to
703. Yeah, 703, you're live on the next round.
Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Doing well. What can we do for you?
CJ from D.C.
CJ, what is going on? By the way, I'm hearing more and more that with that new arena that is being built by MGM, there will be a regular rotation of big to semi-big fights in your jurisdiction in the upcoming future.
Oh, geez. I hope that's like 35 minutes for me, so that would be definitely a welcome event if they start to have that. Hopefully we can see Lamont Peterson fight and open it up.
Wait a minute. Lamont Peterson. That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, remember that guy?
That's a name I haven't heard in a long, long time.
They may open it up with Lamont Peterson and Gary Russell on the undercard.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with both those guys. But, you know, I wanted to ask the both of you guys something, and this is, you know, obviously, I heard Ringside Robbie talk a little bit about HBO, but this is kind of more going on to the terrestrial side of it. What do you guys think? I mean, have you noticed that the ratings for these fights have, like, dipped dramatically? I mean, do you think that that's just a short-term trend, or do you think that that's something that needs to be that's worrisome? Because, I mean, obviously the first quarter, I think, looks good. I mean, you have some good fights coming up. But I don't know. I just been noticing. That's something I pay attention to, is like looking at ratings. And it's just been a downward trend. I mean, for as many fights that Showtime's giving us, I mean, have you seen, the ratings on those have been god-awful.
No, and you know what? I've dubbed it before, the PBC effect. There's been a cost to all of this. And I think boxing as a whole, you know, and it's been the focus of some of my recent articles. They need to wake up and smell the coffee and understand what is going on and adjust accordingly. The template they've used since the mid-80s, I don't think it's effective anymore. I believe the things that the UFC is doing and the inroads they've made have absolutely cut into their business.
Yeah, they've taken a generation, man. I mean, I remember, God, 10, 11 years ago, seeing these kids playing and they were doing kind of UFC moves and thinking, you know, they were about like 10 or 11 and thinking, oh, man, we're kind of in trouble. You don't see kids playing boxing anymore. And the most dominant guy of the last era is a guy that ended up being like the worst fight you've ever seen in Floyd Mayweather. MMA as a product delivers, and it survives losing its stars. There's always another person to take its place. Boxing really needs to rethink and really consolidate. It sounds kind of like, you know, East Bay hippie for me to say.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Steve, can you hear me? Steve?
I'm
Steve, are you there?
Gabe, can you hear me? Gabe.
Yeah, we both dropped off. I don't know what happened.
Gabe, I just want to note this one thing. I talked to someone that's in this business of closed circuit, which I wrote about over the weekend. And this is a small thing, but it's also a big thing, that a lot of these places like Hooters or Dave & Buster's or whatever these franchises are, they make deals across the board with the UFC because it's a lot cheaper. So literally all these places, which have hundreds and thousands of franchises across the board, are showing this thing. And because they are, and I've seen this before, the UFC or whoever that local promoter is in charge of that closed circuit deal, they'll send posters out. Posters will hang on the front windows or the doors of these establishments. And for weeks and months at a time, as all these patrons are walking in and out, they see the faces and the images of these figures that will be on that show. That makes an indelible impression. That's branding. Very easy display of branding. Boxing, you could have the biggest fight in the world, and if it's overpriced, guess what? You're not even getting those eyeballs as they walk through the front door of a Hooters. These things matter over time, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's saturation. It's impressions, you know. It's getting people to just, be familiar with your product and know that it's safe. Even just seeing their products in the stores, you know, for kids, you know, they can buy like the gloves or whatever, all the way up. They're part of the standard fight gear when you go to any sporting goods section. They've marketed themselves as a single product, and whether that's good or bad, I mean, I think their product's pretty strong. I've seen some pretty great fights in the UFC, and there's no reason why boxing can't do that. When you look at the schedule that was up there. If you fed this to the same boxing public and marketed to the people as a whole as opposed to just your little market, and what really is Floyd doing to push this fight? Is he actually promoting it, or is he just lending his promoter's license to advisor Al Haymon?
Right, and wasn't Floyd the guy who said a couple of weeks ago, oh, I'm the guy that should be promoting Terrence Crawford? Really?
Right.
Terrence Crawford would be at Sam's Town if he was promoted by TMT the last 5 years. Let's be very honest about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I still on?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Oh, yeah. And you know, Steve, I know that's something that you have been saying periodically regarding, like, the access, like, you know, Hooters, Buffalo Wild Wings, they show those fights as well. And I, you know, I know they always say boxing goes in cycles, like, oh, it goes in and out of the mainstream public or popularity. I think this time, though, I think listen, UFC's in the vernacular. People know who Ronda Rousey is. People know who Conor McGregor is. They don't know any boxer. When you take out Manny and things, they literally don't. And now, even when I listen to boxing, I mean, I only listen to this, and then on Sirius, I listen to Randy and Joe, Jerry Cooney. Carlos will even call in on that and basically talk a little bit about UFC, which I don't like. And I'm like, that's letting you know the footprint that it has. And like this fight, the Bottle Jack, the Gale, I think it's a good fight. I think that's going to have, I mean, the viewership on that is going to be laughable. Like, I just don't think anybody's going to watch that.
It is what, listen, for 100 years in America, boxing had a monopoly as it related to combat sports. That day is over. Again, adapt and adjust, but get your head out of the goddamn sand, please. It's only your business on the line.
Yeah, totally agree.
All right, listen, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
If you want to call in,
thanks, man.
This is 347 215-7598. Gabe Montoya and Steve Kim on this Championship Monday as we kick off 2017 on the next round.
And I'm looking at the USADA website because they keep a tally of the guys that they test. And James DeGale's been tested 20 times by USADA. I haven't checked, they haven't updated to 2017 yet. It's only been, 9 days. But he was tested once in 2016. It doesn't say when that was, though.
Didn't Leonard Ellerbe say a couple of years ago, as guys were popping hot all over inside the Mayweather gym, that all of their fighters would be subject to year-round testing?
Yeah.
I seem to recall that.
Yeah, it's strange.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I checked it in the fourth quarter of 2016. James DeGale wasn't tested. So I'll keep looking. But we got a lot of calls here. Let's go to the 405. You're live on the next round.
I'm just listening, guys.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Listen away.
All right. Fair enough. 786, you're live on the next round.
Hey, how's it going, Gabe? How's it going, Steve? It's Chris from Miami.
Chris, what's going
on? What's up, Chris?
Not much. Steve, what do you think about Kaya leaving early? Is that a bad decision?
Well,
I think so, man.
I think that Mark Richt, I don't think did the best sales job in terms of the offense he ran or the pitch that he gave him moving forward. So let the Nicosi Perry or Cade Weldon era begin. It is what it is.
All right. Well, I wanted to ask you guys about this weekend's fight. I got to say that, I'm a James DeGale fan. I mean, the guy is a proven world warrior. He's one of the few fighters that actually have been fighting, making fights, and he's crossing the pond where there's I'm not sure how popular he is in the UK, but the guy has come overseas and made a name for himself. I know boxing, probably a lot of people won't know, the public casual fans won't know James DeGale, but, I kind of like the fighter, man. I like his attitude, and I wish a lot of fighters were like that. This fight against Badu Jack, another guy that bounced back from his career, I believe he got knocked out by Edwards, correct?
Yes, Derek Edwards, about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, and I remember everybody, laughed and wrote him off, and I'm glad that he also was able to bounce back. I'm surprised that he's gone this far, and he's probably a pretty good fighter now. I mean, what are your opinions about Badu Jack?
I think he's good enough currently to win a belt. Do I think he's great? Nigel Benn, he ain't.
Oh, yeah. Steve, what do you think about a potential, probably like a year or two down the line, what do you think if James DeGale stays at 168? What do you think about a Triple G and DeGale fight?
I'd love to see Floyd Mayweather's face when it happens.
You think that fight will probably be like in London and Wembley, or...
That fight?
With
it's interesting. Gabe, isn't DeGale promoted by Eddie Hearn?
He is.
Well, they've done business before. But again, let's focus in on this year. I don't trust his game enough to start saying 4 years from now. You know what? Let's focus in on the fight.
We all want to see Triple G and Canelo, but the thing is that it just doesn't happen. I mean, every year as boxing fans, we always get psyched up because, finally, new year, and look what we're getting already. Pacquiao against Horn. You got Cotto against Kirkland. It's just like it's all over the recycle, all over again, and it sucks. But also, the fight that I'm really intrigued is the undercard. You got Pedraza against Gervonta Davis. I think Davis has a puncher's chance, but, man, I think he might look silly in that fight because they're not giving Pedraza his due. He's a pretty good boxer. I know he had his tough fight against Edner Cherry, but I think I won't be surprised if I see Pedraza play a TKO on a ninth-tenth round on a Gervonta Davis that I think his corner won't throw in the towel and the kid's going to take a beat.
Okay, you're on the record. Thank you for the call. 347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
God, the more I'm thinking about it, starting to feel like just picturing Davis whiffing at air, but I'm not going to, pull a John Kerry. 978, you're live on the next round.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, what's going on, guys? How you doing? How was your
new
year?
It's great, man. It's great.
Yeah?
I danced 5 hours to my favorite DJ.
Oh, jeez. Cutting the rug.
Yeah, it was we cut a rug. The same DJ that was in my wedding plays every same place New Year's Eve in L.A., so we go there. So it was fantastic. Thank you. How was yours?
Nice. Good time. Good time. So, it was quiet, actually. I had a friend, this kid Rudy, came up from Connecticut. I haven't seen him like 10 years, right? Big boxing family. He's married to a woman who, you know, would give a Buffalo nickel a hernia. She's tight, right? So he doesn't buy any of the pay-per-views. So he came by. We sat down, and, you know, he's, of course, he knows of Triple G's, but we packed up a couple of sativa bowls and fucking got into some Triple G fights. And I'll tell you, man, I'll tell you, this is what he said. Every, and he watched, we watched about, and like, he was just blown away. Like, the Gill, I mean, not the Gill. When Gill caught him, he takes that shot and he catches him right back. And then even Brooke, like, I understand Brooke's a welterweight. Totally understand that. But that dude still can crack. And when he hit Triple G with that uppercut and literally brought him off his feet, and it didn't even break his focus. I mean, it didn't even break his focus. And I want to make an amendment, too, on my Jacobs prediction. Listen,
oh, no.
Jacobs is a nice kid. He is. He's a great kid, and I'm happy for him. I hope he takes this life-changing money and he does the right thing by him and his family, and he's got the right people around him. That being said, unless Andre Rozier, and from what I just heard tonight from you guys, Virgil Hunter plans on significantly changing his complete style. He's done. He is not going to do well. I think he's going to either go for the fucking fences. He's going to come out almost like in that Michael Spinks type of way, the way he was psyched out against Tyson, you know, that nervous energy.
Jeez, really? So you're saying 90 seconds, Jimmy?
When I say like Spinks, I mean, remember his nervous energy? He even said after he already psyched himself out. You know what I mean? He was just, I think Jacobs is going to go in there and just try to crack. And I just think, I know Triple G's professionalism, his jab. I think this is a big, big fight, and almost a coming out fight for him. He's going to want to put a stamp on it. Unfortunately for Jacob, he's the envelope. And like my buddy said after the fucking, right, and my buddy, right, was starting, I turned to him, right, and I'm like, so what do you think, right? And he stands up, and it was so funny because he's not a big talker. Right? And he goes, tell you what, dude, anybody weighs 160 pounds, they're lucky that motherfucker's not charging them rent. I forget. I was like, no shit. And he goes, that's a bad, bad fucking kid. I'm like, yeah, no doubt, right? Yeah, we watched them all, and I don't think anybody at 168, anybody big to try to come down to beat him is going to be too drained. Nobody's going to come up from 154 to beat him. Nobody at 160 can touch him. The worst part about Triple G, and it sucks, he's 34. Imagine if he was 28, but then again, he wouldn't have had all that amateur experience. But all right, that's enough of my fanboy rant about Triple G. Hey, listen, can I tell you to the level of visceral disgust I have with Andre Ward?
Uh-oh.
Listen.
What now?
Listen, I don't care.
Whoa.
You could be an imbecile and watch that fight, because we watched that too that night. And we watched that again. He didn't see it. And he was a Ward fan, and he is a Ward fan. He's like, and I was like, so honestly, he's like, dude, no doubt Kovalev won that fight. He goes, I don't even know what they're saying. You know, I watched the post presser, you know what I mean? And his smugness. And he, you know, make the first comment, what's with all the long faces? Almost like reveling in the fact that he stole it. You know what I mean? He knows in his heart he lost. He doesn't want the rematch, and he's going to try to price himself out. Because that's his, you know, this is the way he's going to do it. I think he's going to hang around, you know, Curry for the rest of his life or whatever. But if you're a decent fighter like Mickey, and I hate to always go to Mickey, after that, I watched him almost kill each other, him and Toro, right? They fought 6 months, 5 days later, right? And, of course, Mickey finally was in a position after that fight that there were offers starting to come in. Finally, he wasn't the guy to make somebody look good, beat this tough kid, and you know, you'll make your career good. He was always that guy, but always won. So finally now they're like, you know what, hey, if you want a couple of soft ones, he was on the – and when I asked him too, because I was at the fight, so of course I didn't hear the inside ring, you know, interview after and stuff, but he said to me, right to my face, he goes, nah, dude, fuck that. I got to fight a Toro. It's the right thing to do. And he was as serious as a heart attack. It's the right thing, because like he said – I said, you think, you know, if he would have won, if they gave it to Toro, would you have been upset? He said, no, I think I won. I believe I won that fight. But he said, how could you, how, if they were to give it to a Toro, the way he came up off the ninth, you know, in the ninth off the canvas. But to hear him talk about a Toro respect, and if SOG, that SOG shit with the son of God, how, you know, if you label yourself with God, maybe you might think that you have integrity. Fuck off with that, too, all right? Seriously. But the fact that he's just not even given Kovalev the respect that a champion with that many belts deserves, the same opportunity Kovalev gave him, now he's going to dangle it around him. I just don't think he's good for the sport. I think him and Mayweather, who's going to fall in that whole TMT joke, just because he can run around and shoulder roll for 12 rounds, boring the fucking world to death, doesn't make you a businessman, and that's going to blow up in his face too. But, yeah, so I know
you
got to
get the problem with Andre Ward threatening retirement is that the majority will react with this word, promise?
Exactly. And I find in a lot of cases, I don't know if you agree, I find a lot of athletes – they want to be, no matter what sport it is, they always want to be told not to leave. Or, oh, no, you know what I mean? But it's almost like he wants his ego crest, like he wants people to beg him. But all he has to do, I mean, I don't know if you guys even bother, you probably don't. After he tweets, right, wait a day, and go to his timeline. Holy shit. I mean, the fucking hate tweets this guy.
That's great. Jimmy, this might surprise you guys. For some reason, I'm blocked by Andre Ward. It must have been something I said.
I'm shocked I'm not blocked yet either, but
so am I.
It's funny. But listen, 185.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
great.
It was like
108. The phone call. I thought we were all good. Everything's good, right? Yeah, we're good. Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, he's a fuck. Now, you were saying Rock Nation. You were saying, obviously you can't give the guy's name. They told him there's no more credentials available because everybody's
fighting to get in. Oh, no, it's TMT. Yeah, that's TMT for this weekend. You know, listen, it's funny to me, the overwhelming demand. Yeah, because this is the 2017 version of Mayweather-Pacquiao. Give me a break.
And I'll tell you, I'll check out with this. I don't envy the judges for Lara Foreman. Think about it, man. You don't know if you're scoring the punch or the echo.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what? Well, the bright side is you got paid. The downside is you got to stay the whole damn time. So.
Oh, good God. Oh. All right, gentlemen, I know you got the game tonight. So, hey, glad to have you guys back. I missed you for the last couple of weeks. You
all right,
great
Jimmy.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
All right,
thanks
we'll
for calling
time.
In. Goodbye. 347-215-7598 as Alabama and Clemson meet at midfield for the coin toss. Gabe, who's next?
Steve, let's knock this out. 650, you're live on the next round.
Hey, fellas, I was just listening.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
no problem.
That is a caller closer to paradise. 510, you're live on the next round.
Hey, Gabe. Hey, Steve. It's Ryan over here. Rich, how are you guys doing?
Good. What's up,
man?
Good. Happy New Year. I got a quick question. Happy New Year. Thank you. From the Kovalev perspective, how long is he going to allow himself to be held hostage by Andre Ward? And will interim bout nullify the rematch clause?
I'd have to ask Kathy Duva that. I think that there's a certain point of time that they have to kind of see this process through. And if there's no agreement struck, then that's their job to make contingency plans. It's really that simple.
Who would you like to see Kovalev fight if the Andre Ward fight doesn't get made?
I said last week, and it's a complete fantasy pipe dream, but Gabe, I can't quit Stevenson Kovalev, even now.
Oh, yeah, give me that fight. I don't know if, I mean, I don't know if Stevenson, now that it's dangerous and not really worth a lot to him. I mean, is Kovalev the people's champion? Does that hold any water? I'd still watch. But and I don't know where you go if you're Kovalev. You look for an easy knockout, right? Or do you try to force that rematch? And that's a good point. How long do you stay out? I think you got to fight in the first quarter of the year if you can.
Hopefully, I mean, events have to lined up for him. One last thing too. I was listening to ESPN Boxeo, and they were commenting on the Chavez Canelo talks that Canelo tried to offer him 20% of the total purse. I mean, I don't know what's going on with Canelo, man, but
wait a minute, so he does percentages
everybody.
Now? Huh, that's
interesting. He offered him 20%.
Okay.
He offered him 20%. So I don't know.
The number that I was told
either.
Was $6 million. I'll say this. I don't know if that's fair or not, but as of now, Canelo is the A side. That is not even a debate. The question is, what is a fair amount? But, you know, listen, if you're Chavez, what other fight out there can give you that much? And is also against a smaller guy. So those things need to be weighed into account.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys. You have a good week.
Thank you very
you
much.
Too, man.
347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
I think this is our last call. 281, you're live on the next round.
Hey, guys. This is Nate from Houston.
Nate, what's going
hey,
on?
Hey, what's up, Nate?
Oh, man, just hanging out. Listen, you know, Gabe, your Rams, I know you were glad to get rid of Jeff Fisher, but what are you going to do when they hire Rex Ryan?
That's not
Ooh.
Happening. Come on.
Oof. Don't do that. Don't do that to me, man. Yeah. I hope that doesn't happen. I don't know. I kind of keep thinking of Gruden, just somebody that's been in that kind of spotlight under the highest of scrutiny, is a little bit of a star himself who can deflect the LA media. That works. Those kind of coaches, a Pat Riley, I know it's a different sport, but like a, you know, a Phil Jackson, those guys that can absorb some of that for their players and let their guy mature, particularly having to guard the quarterback position. Plus, I love his offense. He values all that, all facets. So that's kind of my guy. I don't know if they'll be able to lure him out of retirement, though.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. But he looks like he's having a lot of fun, you know, being a commentator.
Just remember one thing. From the broadcast booth, you never lose a game.
It's true. You're always
that's
right.
True.
You're always right, even when you're wrong.
John Gruden's been undefeated, what, the last 8 years? Top that, Don Shula.
And those guys make some serious cash. I mean,
oh, he makes
know,
like $5-6 million, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a stress sandwich to steal from any given Sunday. I'd watched that just like last week, the director's cuts on HBO Now, and I couldn't resist. It's such a great movie. And you watch that, and you're like, why would anybody go through it if you won the Super Bowl early in your career and you already made millions and you can make more millions just talking about it? Why not, you know? But still, we need somebody in there that can handle that.
Yeah, well, your boys need a break, so hopefully something good happens for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Nate, any thoughts on this Showtime card this weekend?
Well, I was thinking about just pay-per-view in general. You guys were talking about it, and I keep on coming back to your quote from Bob Arum about pay-per-view being about stars. And, you know, you think about all the low numbers and the low numbers. It's like, well, there aren't really, you know, who are the real stars? You know, the not just the best fighters. Because right now, a lot of the best fighters aren't that popular, right? They're, well, for one thing,
no,
a lot of them aren't American, right? You got Golovkin or Kovalev.
They're fading stars.
Yeah.
And there was an interesting debate on my Twitter timeline a couple of days ago, and a guy made a good point. Why is HBO even placating Roc Nation by distributing February 25th? Why not send them a message saying, hey, listen, we're not going to be a part of this. We're not going to be a part of the problem. And, again, I understand there's politics with Beyonce and Jay-Z. They want to do concerts. But I can't argue that. I mean, in many respects, if HBO is doing February 25th, even from the level of just distribution, you could say they are complicit. Could you not, Gabe?
Yeah, there's no question. It seems, I don't know, it's weird. I used to be able to look at HBO and explain, like, Showtime kind of gets those meat and potato off the grid fights. They get the Castillo Corrales in a way HBO never really does. They invest in the smaller fighters, but HBO is like kind of the marquee guys, and they make great fights. And now I don't really know how to explain, but they, you know, they have a flagship fighters. That's the HBO is the gold standard, the De La Hoyas of the world, the Tysons early on, you know, before he made his big deal with Showtime. And now, I mean, it would seem that Showtime seems to be in the business of building up the sport of boxing to service this advisor and his large stable, whereas HBO has boxing and they have some good fighters, but they don't really have I don't know if vision maybe is the right word. I don't know what the hell they are.
Yeah, it's beginning to wonder. Do they have some kind of obligation with Cotto?
No, not my. I was told because of Jay-Z and Beyonce, because all of us really care about them showing those bad concerts of theirs when they're lip syncing, that we need to do this. Okay. Okay.
Huh. You know, without Heyman, right? Placating a concert promoter always works out.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you had to go there,
we'll
Gabe.
Hey, I'm wondering about Terrence Crawford and Aram saying, well, maybe that's later. Maybe, does it have a little something to do with, did I not read that Crawford got sentenced to like 90 days or something like that?
Yeah, that mm-hmm. might, listen, he's going to a vacation. I think it's 50 days. I don't think it's quite 90. You know, next time he ought to just pay his bill. I don't know what else to really say other than that.
Yeah, that seems a little harsh. He must have really pissed him off there.
Yeah, you know, listen, why not just give a bad Yelp review? You know, I mean, you're Terrence No, I'm being dead serious. Like, guys, if you were a big-name star in a place like Omaha, and they kind of, you think they kind of ripped you off or didn't give you great service, do you know how damaging a tweet from one of you saying, I would never go to such and such a place again because it's bad service? You know how much you would hurt that business?
Well, he came from a help review, I guess.
Yeah.
Help.
He went down there with the hot with his buddies and his rope.
Not Yelp. Help. Wow. Okay. On that note, Nate, anything else?
Well, the fight you were asking about for this weekend, you're talking about Foreman and Laura?
Aren't you an adopted Lara fan, given that he's made his base in Houston?
Well, hey, I saw him saw that Arislandi Lara van driving around.
Yeah.
Maybe he drove it all the way to Florida. I don't know. But, no, I just hope we got some fights coming up, and I'm kind of like you wondering about my HBO subscription, and, you know, I dropped Showtime a while back. Maybe I switched the other way. I don't know. Anyways, hopefully everything's good this weekend, and, you know, we have some fun.
Okay, Nate, we'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, guys.
Gabe, the game is underway, and Clemson is kind of sort of driving. Do we have any more calls?
No, let's wrap it up. I want to watch this game.
Oh, okay, hey. Roll Tide or go Tigers? All right, well, Gabe, that was it for our 2017 premiere on the Next Round. On behalf of David Gwyneth and the rest of the Leave It in the Ring Radio Network, till the next round, goodbye, everybody.